It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Scans. There's Ayuk in the middle to the end zone, touchdown. And there it is. They go up top, and Brandon Ayuk with a touchdown grab.
Oh, baby. Mike Tirico to call NBC Sports last Thanksgiving. Purdy to Ayuk, and the Niners handle their business up in the Pacific Northwest, 31-13. They swept the Seattle Seahawks. They were rolling. Of course, we know how that season ended. So now they go back up in a monster game, folks. We're not going to sugarcoat it. This is massive for the 49ers, massive for the Seahawks. Seahawks 3-2, Niners 2-3. Niners have yet to win a division game. They're 0-3 in the NFC. Can they get rolling tonight in the Pacific Northwest? And one thing I love about that highlight is how many Niner fans have made the short flight up to Seattle, the two-hour flight up to the Pacific Northwest to go see them play in front of the 12s. You hear that roar from the red and gold. Will there be a lot of Niner fans up there? It's a massive game, Shasky. There's no sugarcoating in it, and the rivalry is back. It will be nasty. It will be physical. It will be chippy. Geno Smith and company are desperate coming off a loss. Niners are desperate. I can't wait for this. Thursday Night Football, baby. Prime time.
That was your best oh baby in so long.
Well, I needed it.
No, you hit it, dude. You hit it hard. Let's go.
Sorry, I got some good sleep last night.
I can tell.
7 hours. Wow. 7 hours.
I'm so fired up for this
game. And baby Chess stayed in their bed all night.
Oh, nice.
First time in weeks.
Oh, my God.
I woke up in the morning and go, where's my daughter? I had to look at the camera and said, wait, she's in her bed, knocked out?
So you could actually stretch out in the bed?
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. No crooks in the neck. Back feels good. Let's go. Come on, baby. It's game day. I'm not going to lie to you. I shouldn't say this, but I had to get back to the music because I was listening to Spinotti talk about the schedule and blowing games. I said, the hell with that on game day. The hell with that. I don't give a damn about Tampa Bay. I don't give a damn about Kansas City. I don't give a damn about Dallas. I don't give a damn about the second matchup against the LA Rams. It's about the Seattle Seahawks tonight. Tonight. And it's about getting Ayuk rolling. It's about getting Deebo rolling. It's about getting Jordan Mason downhill, running through the 12s. And then I'm looking at the most important player on defense. When we had the 49ers summit, we all went around the roundtable. Willard, Dibs, Guru, Steiny, yourself, myself. The most important player for me this season. And I said it at the summit, and I'll say it again today. It is number 97, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa has to set a tone for that defensive line, and he has to set a tone for that defense to get after this quarterback over and over and over again. I need a huge Nick Bosa game. Tonight's the night, baby. Tonight's it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the offense to kind of set the tone because their identity this year is going to be offensive driven. If they're going to go on a little run here and right the ship, it starts tonight, no doubt about it. I think you got to get Deebo rocking and rolling here. You know, you got to find a way to have Deebo and Ayuk cooking in the same game. We've seen one cook and the other one feels like an afterthought. We've seen the other guy cook and the other guy felt like an afterthought. Can we get them both cooking and rocking and rolling on the same day? I know it's difficult. I'm not saying you could do it, you know, at the snap of a finger, but I would really like to see them get Deebo involved and get Brandon Ayuk involved simultaneously early in the game. And so I think they have to find a way to utilize Deebo Samuel to keep him engaged and just to keep the Seahawks guessing and open things up for Brandon Ayuk for some deep gashes down the field. Very interested to see what this first drive looks like. You know, the first drive last week to go three and out the way that they did, a lot of people have talked about that. You know, that first drive, like, God, it just wasn't, they weren't humming, they're airmailing the ball, the coverages weren't what they were expecting, and So to me, like the script from Shanahan in the first 15 plays, I'm just looking at the first drive. Just the first drive is going to tell me what they have in store for Seattle against a common opponent. I'm very excited to see how they come out. Are they going to come out running? Are they going to come out throwing? You know, how do you loosen up Seattle's secondary? Because to me, I think the secondary is their strength. Although their defensive line, I don't want to sleep on it. You know, maybe I'm holding Tariq Woolen and Witherspoon in such high regard. I don't want to sleep on their D line, but I wonder how they're going to try to attack these guys. You know, linebacker play isn't the greatest, and you're missing Owosu, who's kind of a D-end outside linebacker. I wonder what the game plan looks like early in this one.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, right? We'll see what they have in store. But I know last Thanksgiving, they went right down the field and went up 7-0. 9 plays, 71 yards, 5 minutes off the clock. All right? They went right down the football field. It smoked them. So they've won 5 straight games against Seattle, dating back to the playoffs. I mean, they've won 5 straight. 27-7, 21-13, 41-23, 31-13, 28-16. They've won 5 straight against the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, folks? They flipped the script in this rivalry. All right? So after losing 4 straight to Seattle, they finally got off the snide. They've won 5 straight against the Hawks. They've owned them. Now this is a new regime with Coach McDonald coming over from the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Obviously, was with the Michigan Wolverines. His defensive principles and concepts are a little different. They play a hell of a brand of football up there in Seattle defensively, but they've, as you mentioned, they've had a lot of guys out. So he hasn't had his full band together, and this is a great opportunity for the Niners to take advantage of that. So their front seven, as Baldy mentioned, and we watched the game over against the New York Giants. They gave up a ton of yards on the ground. They got dominated in the trenches. So if this is a physical football game, and it is a trench game, because I can also see it turning into a shootout, who knows, because I'm a little concerned about our safety play, the back end of the safeties with Malik Mustafa and Tig Brown. Guys are getting over the top, and DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett have the ability to get over the top, which is why I need number 97. I need number 99. I need these guys to get after the quarterback. It has to happen today. If Nick Sorensen, the defense coordinator, has to send some blitzes, some exotic blitzes, to hell with it. Send some blitzes. I know people say, well, wait a minute, Bonte. You just said the safeties are a concern on the back end. Well, you know what? You're going to have to man up. And I got to somehow, some way, generate pressure on the Geno Smith. So defense complements the offense. And you're right. The identity of this football team may be the offense with the galaxy of stars that they have. They're going to do their thing. I have complete confidence in this offense doing their thing. But I know we're all going to be charting the red zone and what they do in the red zone inside the 20. What are they going to do? Are they going to score touchdowns? But defensively, can they play complimentary football and shut off the water?
It's a great point. You know, I've gone over all the statistics of the rushing yards that they've allowed since that last Arizona game in the regular season last year. You know, Ryan Grubb is the offensive coordinator for Seattle, and he's been under big attack. Now, we're going to talk to Dick Fan at 8:30.
He watched the Huskies offensive coordinator last year with Michael Penix.
I know that we have been crushing our DC here. Well, they're crushing their offensive coordinator up in Seattle, and I'm looking at this specific quote right here where people were calling it malpractice to only give Kenneth Walker 5 touches.
Yep.
I'll own that. I got to get the ball to Ken Walker more, Grubb said on Tuesday. And I think we had plenty of run game in the plan, just not enough calls for it. And that's on me. And for us, you know, we learned the wrong thing. If I can get the ball to Ken 10, maybe 15 more touches, that's like 20 plus. Things are going to look a lot different. That's 100% on me, and my job is to make sure I get all our guys in the best position to win the game, and I didn't do that. So I think that this is going to be one of those games where, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, you've got to stop them. You absolutely, I mean, obviously DK is the guy you fear, right? Because he's a big play guy, and we know Jackson Smith and Jigba's also a guy who's emerging. Yep. He's coming on. He's a big play guy as well. Stopping the run, the situational run, is going to be vital to the Niners getting off the field.
They gave up a lot of run yards, obviously, last week. The Rams controlled the line of scrimmage with their run game. Minnesota had their way with their run game. There's no doubt about it. They're going to make it a point of emphasis. And McDonald, you know, he's coming over from Baltimore by way of Michigan. Guess what they like to do? The Harbaughs. They like to run the football. So McDonald, there's no doubt about it. He's looking at last week's game plan and saying, what is this? We're not playing in the Pac-12. We don't have McMillan. We don't have Roma Dunze. We don't have Michael Penix Jr. What the hell are you doing? We got Geno Smith, and we need to have more balance. And there's no doubt they're looking at the field from last week saying, where can we attack the 49ers in a run game? There are some weaknesses here. They're going to run at number 59, Devontae Campbell.
100%.
They're going to run at Fred Warner and test his ankle out and see, can you run sideline to sideline like you normally do? Because last week, Fred Warner was compromised. Mm. How's his ankle feel?
That's
Is he going to shoot it up? What's going on with Fred Warner? How's he feeling? It's a desperation game for both teams, folks. You're right. Kenneth Walker, the third, is a bowling ball. He's got a build like James Conner.
Yeah.
He from Michigan State.
I love
him. He's physical. He can run between the tackles. He's a home run hitter. You got to slow down a run game. There's no doubt.
When I was looking at just some of the numbers and I'm going through it, because I'm like, all right, I think I know Seattle, but what are they this year? You know what I mean? Because every year is a little different. Week to week, it's like it's a whole different universe in the NFL. But like year to year, it's even crazier.
Yep.
The Seahawks are 20th in rush yards,
yep.
31st in rush attempts.
Yeah, that's criminal.
It is. And then I'm looking and I'm like, look, you have great wide receivers, but Geno Smith should not be leading the league in pass attempts, completions, and pass yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy. I look at like, you look up and you're like, well, how do they lose these last couple of games? Well, they've given up 42 and 29 points, and I think they've had to throw a lot. Got away from the run. And so I do believe early in this game, stopping the run is important.
No, it's imperative. There's no doubt about it. It's imperative that they do that because, as you mentioned, the Detroit Monday night game, I was just going to say that. The game flow kind of dictates what you do. And so the game flow against Detroit, boom, you're automatically you're down 14-0. You're in a shootout. And you got to just keep throwing the ball to stay in touch. Now, I didn't watch much of the Patriots game when they won in overtime, and I don't think
many people did.
Right, but we kind of hinted that 3-0 start against Bo Nix in his first ever game.
It was ugly.
Against the Patriots. It was a little fraudulent. The 3-0 start was, and then they played the Miami Dolphins and beat them 24-3. They had no quarterback. Who did they play? Skylar Thompson in that game? It was a joke. An absolute joke. So that 3-0 start was a little fraudulent. But again, they look at this situation saying, boy, we could snap a 6-game losing streak to the 49ers, or a 5-game losing streak to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
We could send them to 2-4. We take a commanding lead in the NFC West. We could catch our breaths a little bit, and then we could get defensive reinforcements back. That's what they're thinking in Seattle. For the 49ers, it's calm the waters.
Yeah.
A win can do this fan base. A win can do this team wonders. So when we come in here tomorrow morning, it's no doom and gloom. It's let's get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs and let's celebrate a win against Seattle. So stopping the run early, you're so right about that. But when they do pass, this is primetime television. I call these games, this is where you get your DPOY votes.
Ooh.
This is where you get your Pro Bowl votes. This is where you get your All-Pro votes. So the stars have to be stars. And again, defensively, as we talk about stopping the run, 97 has to live in the backfield.
Totally.
Nick Bosa, he's the most important player on defense, man. He may not be the best player on defense. That may be Fred Warner. But again, it goes back to the beginning of the year. We all went around and said, who's the most important piece of this football team? Who has to ball out? And Nick Bosa has to live in Geno Smith's head all night long. He has to hit this guy over and over and over. I got the Al Davis clip playing in my head right now saying the quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard within the first 10 plays. So Nick Bosa has to give one of those ooh-wee hits to Geno Smith and smack this guy. And smack this guy over and over and over because we know what Geno does. He will throw one up to the other team.
Absolutely. And it's always interesting, like, you know, I look at their defense, and they give up a lot of rush yards. You know, 125 a game plus, that's a lot. Now, I had Tyrone Tracy because I watched that Baldy game with Daniel Jones in the preseason. I go, who's this running back? Okay, let's see him. I had him for like 4 or 5 weeks. He did nothing.
Nothing.
He had like maybe 25 yards. I drop him. And then this week he goes for 129 against Seattle. Okay, and I'm saying to myself, all right, well, what happened in this game? Well, I'm watching the game back. I get the condensed version.
Right.
They couldn't set the edge at all. So this feels like a big jet sweep, a big toss game, a big, you know, sweep to the outside, cut and get upfield. They cannot set the edge. I'm talking about Seattle's defense. Mm-hmm. I think this is, you know, Garendo, Debo, you know, could you get maybe Ayuk going on a pop pass jet screen? Could you get him going on a smoke screen? Can you get Jordan Mason? looking really good. If they can go for like 75 rush yards in the first half, I think that
just even more. Just control
the play action sets up off that.
Yeah, just keep going with the play action. I am wondering what the defense looks like for Seattle. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? We're going to talk to Dick Fan at 8:30 about that. We got Stats on Fire, Rob Guerrera at 9:20. What he's going to be looking for. Obviously, everybody's concerned about the red zone issues. So can the 49ers rectify those red zone issues? If they get there, then we have a new kicker, Matthew Wright. How's he going to do in the 12s? What if it comes down to a kick? How's he going to do? Well, there's no Jake Moody this week. There's going to be no Jake Moody for the next month. So what does it look like for this new kicker here that the Niners have signed Tuesday morning? How's he going to kick? Is he going to be able to kick in the end zone on kickoffs? Is he going to be able to make them for 40, from 50?
It's a great point.
So the kicking game is going to, in these games and into special teams. Let's just go around the horn.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. The special teams have to get a lot better for the San Francisco 49ers. They have to get better. There's just no. I know the block field goal last week for a touchdown was great.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it really took some of the attention off of special teams and how putrid they've been so far this season. But you cannot let up there in Seattle, where it can be a house of horrors. And they will get a little tricky up there. And they'll start filling themselves and get frisky and do some trick plays here and there. Special teams has got to be buttoned up tonight on the road. It has to be.
Well, and Seattle, in the Giants game, had a blocked field goal. Like, as in, they gave one up.
They gave one up.
So they're also a team that's very questionable right. When it comes to special teams. But I don't know, B. Whenever you go backup kicker, I think of that Chase McLaughlin game. Was it against Seattle, too?
It was against Seattle on Monday Night Football.
He
nailed a long one in regulation.
And then kicked one of the worst kicks I've ever seen in my life.
It almost hit Jennifer Lee Chan in the tunnel.
Oh, my God.
It really did. She had to video the thing.
It was so bad.
It was terrible.
And then, like, obviously turnovers have been a big problem for the 49ers. DK Metcalf's had the fumble issues.
Yes.
In both their losses, he's had big fumbles where the ball can be punched out because he's trying to make a play. He's trying to do too much. I think this is a monster matchup for both teams. Like, well, I think this one's got the feel of a 2-3 game swing in one game, doesn't it?
It's massive. We're not going to sugarcoat it. 888-957-9570. Are you feeling the same way we are? This is a massive football game.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Could sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Yeah, I could sit here and wax poetic and say it's okay. It's just 2-4. They can win 2 straight. No. This is a monster game. The players are saying it. We're saying it. The fans walking down the street are saying it. Everybody's thinking it. When Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit open up the broadcast, they're going to say it. This is a huge swing game. So let's not sugarcoat it. You got to win today. You got to win today if you're the San Francisco 49ers. All the tricks. I want trick plays. I want flea flickers. I want everything. It's in the damn playbook tonight.
Hey.
Get me a win.
All right. Warren G., I want it all. I get it. Believe me, I want it all tonight.
But I want bombs. I want short plays, wide receiver screens. I want it all.
Here's what I would ask you. If there's one thing, because they've got a lot of issues, the Niners, okay? If there's one thing that you want them to do well tonight, what would that be?
I'll let you know on the other side.
I know you want it all.
I want it all.
And I know you want to shoot tonight. The sheriff.
I want
Warren
it all,
G,
baby.
But tell me exactly one thing.
I'll let you know on the other side.
Because I'm telling you, stopping the run, I don't think they can do it. And I don't think that they can guard these receivers. I'm very worried about this game.
All right. I'll let you. Here we go again.
I'm very worried.
We just had a segment of just being confident, fired up, and now you're going into the break very worried. I'm very confident. These guys are not going to let us down tonight. I'm very confident. I'm not guaranteeing a win, but I am confident. That's how my mind operates. I operate like we're the best damn team. I'm a competitor. I'm the best damn team in football. Go up there and kick their ass. It's Seattle week, folks. Let's rock and roll. 888-957-9570. Coming up, brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water. We're breaking out a game. And by the way, how about those Doves? They can shoot the hell at that basketball.
And I was worried.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Hey, man, it is a game day, a Niners game day. They're up in Seattle, short week, Thursday night football. First place in the NFC West is on the line. Now, of course, the Cardinals would have to lose to the Packers, and the Niners would have the tiebreaker over Seattle to get first place. But it's Operation Improved to 3-3. However, just a quick little...
Oh, are we going to do this?
A little quick little dubby-dubs?
Yeah, I want to put my foot in the door. I want to keep it ajar. Right. I do kind of want to just get a couple of Warrior thoughts out.
Hey, listen.
Give me yours.
28 Bay threes. Steve Kerr wasn't lying. They're going to let that thing fly.
Yeah, I don't care about flying around.
No, he was going to let it fly, and it was flying. And Kuminga, catch and shoot, looks a little better. And let me say, Buddy Hield revenge game yesterday in Sacramento. Buddy Buckets, Deuce and Mo, they love me, man, because I'm always telling them that empty calories is the modest bonus, and they can't stand it. So Deuce already hit me up with the relax, dude. Well, I can't relax because the catch and shoot threes from Buddy Buckets, damn, this guy was flying. He was letting it fly here. Lutman gives me the final book. That's how you know basketball season. I love these final books here.
I mean, the audacity of Kings fans to tell other people to calm down. Give me a
right. No. But it was all good, man. It was fun. They're going to play a free-flowing. But you know what? I like the defensive activity. Now, I know they gave up 60-plus points in the first half, and DeRozan did his thing. There was no Andrew Wiggins. But I do like the activity defensively. They were contesting at the rim. They were closing out. Yeah, guys are going to get buckets. This is a league. It's an offensive league now. Guys are going to get buckets. But you know what? I like the fact that we don't know what this team's going to be. And it's going to be fun. At least we know it's going to be fun. So I'm excited, man. I had a good time watching him last night.
Well, Buddy Hield obviously hitting buckets is going to be something that everyone's going to glom onto. I don't know. I don't know how sustainable that is. But if you're going to leave him open, he can knock it down, which is what you're looking for a bench player, right? And then I look at DeAndre Melton, and I'm saying to myself, or DeAnthony Melton, excuse me.
You
and
like
I'm saying,
him, huh?
I really like him. Yeah. He's in the same way like Dante DiVincenzo, I liked from afar, but then when you watch him a little more closely, you realize that, oh, he's got way better handle than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
He's a much better passer than I thought. He's a more active defender than I thought. I just really like his game. He's just a smart player. And then you add in Kyle Anderson, who's another smart player. And then, you know, you look at this team and you got some high IQ young players in Trace and Pods.
Brandon
and you're
Pajewski.
Like, dude, overall, just the flow, the feel, the spacing. There was a couple of moments last night, Jonathan Kuminga in particular. I'm like highly, the minutes where he's overlapping with Curry, I'm highly critical of, like, how does he flow with Curry?
Right.
Where's he going?
Right.
And the way, like, okay, if Curry's going to go to the hoop, I've got to pop out. Mm-hmm. If Curry's up high, I got to cut through. Like, he did a lot of little subtle movements yesterday where I can see some growth. And
yeah,
I really like
doubt.
That. Buckets are—he's always going to be a bucket guy.
He's
going to
be buckets, but
to me, it's the minutia.
Yeah, moving around, catch and shoot, spacing, and all that stuff. Real quick on DeAnthony Bell because I do want to get to him.
I just really like him.
Well, this is the move we talked about in the offseason. I said I think this is the move that Warrior fans are going to like the most.
I really like
him. Out of all the free agent signings, and I look at it all too. You know me; I like to keep receipts. I always thought when I'll never forget this. When they're playing the Warriors in that series, they weren't playing him enough because he. He was giving Curry, like, he wasn't stopping Curry, but Jordan Poole and Curry, they had to like really work against DeAnthony Melton. He made them work to get their offense going, and he was physical. He was talking trash. Then they flipped him to Philadelphia, and I thought, you flipped the wrong guy. Dylan Brooks should have been a guy you tried to flip. Keep Melton on that roster because he has winning player written all over him. It's the reason why Philadelphia traded for him, and his back gave out. His back gave out last year, and I think that could have maybe been a difference in Philadelphia beating the New York Knicks. Could have been a difference in Philadelphia maybe advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that highly of DeAnthony Melton. And then you think about the 1 year, $12 million contract, and he's learning under Jerry Stackhouse, who I think is a very underrated addition on that Warriors bench next to Steve Kerr and Terry Stotts. Jerry Stackhouse is a defensive guy. He's obviously a former guard. We talked to him a couple months ago. DeAnthony Melton, I think every Warrior fan is going to love him. But I do want to talk about the feel that Brandon Pajewski has. It's undeniable. We don't know what he's going to be, whether he's going to be an all-star, whether he's going to be an all-pro, all-NBA player. But he has such a great feel for the game. I see why teams want Brandon Pajewski. This guy, in his second year, he seems to stabilize everything, no matter what the lineup is, no matter who he's playing with. He just seems to be in control and plays at a very nice pace, man. I like where Pajewski's at right now.
There was a couple of plays in particular that I thought were just like, God, he just plays the game at such a high level. There was one where he catches the ball on the wing. The defender is coming over, you know, to try to stop him from popping a three. He takes a subtle sidestep and then whips a pass down to Draymond for a layup.
Yep.
It was just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, great court vision, but just more understanding what the threat of a three-point shot can do. And then there was a couple others where he drives into the paint and he uses an unbelievable pivot move that he has to fake like he's going up and kicks it out to the open three-point shooter who ends up being, in this particular case, Kuminga, and he just knocks down the three. And Kuminga getting the right angle to receive the pass was a – he did like a little like V-cut away from where he wanted to go, which is, again, that's growth because I don't think Kuminga understood a couple years ago how to do that. There's just all these little subtleties. I do want another, like, I want a rim protector. I'm not going to lie to you. I would like a big man that could space the floor. I want to see Quentin Post at some point. It does feel like to me, if I'm just, like, without Wiggins out there, Lindsey Waters the third, Moses Moody, GP2.
There's a lot of guards.
There's a lot of redundancy. Could there be a move in the fold over the next couple of weeks? I don't know. I'd love to get that second, third center who can either be a rim protector and just a lob threat or a stretch five. Like, I think they need another center.
Yeah, no doubt. Looney looks in phenomenal shape, though. He does look like he's in phenomenal shape. He lost a lot of weight. Looks like he lost about 40 pounds. Looks phenomenal, Kevon Looney. You see the little mid-range jumper he hit yesterday, but he was just moving well. And his the way he contests Domantas Sabonis, I like the way he plays Domantas Sabonis, man. He knows his game really well. His footwork's really good when he's having the individual defense. And then let's get to Curry. Curry was doing his thing. And then Draymond Green, if he lets it fly, again, I want Draymond Green shooting five threes a game. I do. I think it sounds crazy.
No, but from where?
Top of the key.
That's what I was just going to say.
He's going to be open.
Top
of the key.
I don't love him in the corners. Yeah, if you notice, there was a couple of times where it was Pods, Kuminga, Heald, Melton. Mm-hmm. You had different guys in the corner. I don't want to see Draymond become a corner three shooter. I think he's a top of the key shooter.
Yep, no doubt.
And then he's more of a ball handler anyway. And then it gives him the ability to drive. Don't love him in the corners.
No, but he's moving well from the top of the key. He's moving very well. 10 points, 5 assists yesterday. Only played the first half. So, look. It was a fun game last night in Sacramento. Fun game. So much so. Wait, I thought RJ was called about
it's
the
always kids. Fun game.
Always fun game, man. Always fun game. Look, Melton, Heald, Moody got some run. I'm just eager to see where this team's going to be at in a month. What's the rotation going to be like? And again, don't focus on the starters because these starters only played about 5 minutes and 41 seconds together. Who's going to be in these finishing lineups at the end of the first half and at the end of the second half? Who's going to be in these finishing lineups? I think Melton has a case. Buddy Buckets is very intriguing with the way he spaces the floor. Maybe you play some situational basketball here, Sasky. Offense for defense, defense for offense. But it's refreshing. It's refreshing. We don't know where the hell this season's going to go. And I kind of enjoy that.
You know who Domantas Sabonis is? It finally hit me.
Uh-oh.
He's Brandon Belt.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's just, it's the body. It's the body and the body language. I just can't stand looking at the guy. I just, I'm so over it. Right. And the fact that Kings fans worship him so much, it reminds me of the buddy, of the Brandon Belt, like, fanboys. Right. It's nauseating. Nauseating. You know what? Watching Kings Twitter slurp a very overrated player nuts.
I'm not going to,
No, I'm just saying metaphorically.
I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I was the biggest Brandon Belt fan, but he's a two-time World Series champ. Be careful comparing Domantas Sabonis to a World Series champion.
I think Domantas is a better player in his sport than what Belt was in his. I'm saying it's the way the fan base rallies around a clearly flawed player and just overlooks all of the negatives.
By the way,
it just drives me nuts.
I know he didn't have the greatest shooting night, but I like Moses Moody's activity so far in the preseason. Two games, Moses Moody's moving around very well. And I think he's going to compete for minutes, man. I think people who are big Moody fans are finally going to see Moody play a little bit here. So I'm excited about this Warriors team. There's no doubt about it, man. Fun game last night in Sacramento.
I started the Starting Five doc on Netflix with follows. It's basically the receiver version and the quarterback version for basketball. Cool. So you got LeBron, you got Sabonis, you've got... who's my guy? Anthony Edwards. You got Buddy Heald, and you got Jason Tatum. So it's very interesting.
Anthony Edwards doesn't fit. I mean,
well, one of those doesn't fit. It's Domantas Sabonis.
He's just living alone. I'm gonna watch it first before I judge.
I want to see it's Malik Monk or
he's just somehow even more boring in person than he is on the court.
Guys are harsh, man.
His wife is more interesting. Shoshana, I think his name is. She's more interesting than he is. I'm sorry,
boring.
Four or five.
I mean, the door over there has more personality.
Oh my gosh.
His dad is actually really cool. Arvydas Sabonis, because they talked to him.
He's a baller.
That guy.
Arvydas Sabonis is a baller.
No, he's about that life, too.
Comcast Business text line, don't be jealous, Bonte. Hey, Looney stayed on that soda diet.
He does look significantly slimmer.
I told you, you guys
this
laughed
at me.
No, he looks significantly slimmer versus last year. But Bonte, he's still, I love the guy. He's still a laboring, shorter guy who doesn't like get up off the ground. So like you have to utilize him specifically. I'm not saying he's not useful. He is useful. But there are going to be matchups where he's just out. He's out physicaled.
What's the name? Trace Jackson Davis came off the bench yesterday. They're going to be interchangeable. One's going to start. One's going to come off the bench. Steve Kerr's going to play with that position all season long. But to your point about getting a rim protector, yeah, hell yeah, I want one. I mean, when you got Wimby, when you got Jokic, when you got Naz Reid, when you got Anthony Davis, when you got Zubac, when you got DeAndre Ayton, who we're going to see in the first game of the season up in Portland and Moda Center for their home opener and the season opener. Yeah, there's a lot of bigs in the Western Conference. A lot of bigs. Shangoon in Houston. Can't forget about him. He balled out last year.
ACL.
Yeah, he bought out, man, last year. We'll see how he moves.
I will do this, though. I will make a pledge to the Warrior fans. I will continue to ride Sabonis just to make Kings fans miserable and just to have them in my mentions.
Oh, you want to be on a t-shirt?
He's so annoying.
Hey, did
he's
you see annoying. Our girl Kimberly, who works at the Stacey Kaufman here at Odyssey? Kimberly?
You
remember Kimberly?
Oh,
you
know Kimberly? Yeah.
She came down last week and she handed me three stickers. Kings fans have me on t-shirts and stickers. Oh. How great is that?
Yeah.
They got me on t-shirts and stickers up there in Sacramento.
Well, you have significantly more personality than their superstar, Sabonis.
Oh, man. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. What do you know? RJ Fairfield's on the line, and you got to stick around and hear what he has to say about the Warriors and Kings, as well as the 49ers. RJ Fairfield, stay on hold. You better not be panicking. You better be ready to ride tonight on Thursday Night Football. Niners, Hawks, we'll get right back into it on the other side.
It's worth saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Bay Area is D'Anthony Melton. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Bonte, let's take people behind the scenes. At the break, you and I, D'Anthony Melton, one of
the greatest. Yeah, hey, you like that?
I do.
D'Anthony Melton.
I like it. But
he's a good dude, too. I met him at Media Day, man. Very solid guy.
So, I love the medium of sports radio. I grew up with sports radio. The first ever sports radio that I ever learned or heard here in the Bay Area was driving around in my dad's F-150 back in the day listening to Pete Franklin. And, you know, Pete Franklin was the guy who brought sports talk to this side of the country. But Mike and the Mad Dog, like, they're the ones that put it on the map.
Right.
And 35 years ago, just 2 days ago, they had their first ever show. And Bonte and I were talking about it. And I love Mad Dog. I freaking love Mad Dog. He's, even though I hate his Giants takes, because I don't think he's a true, real Giants fan, because it's impossible to watch the Giants at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning back on the East Coast when you're doing a show like that. But that being said, I love the character that is. And I'm thinking to myself, are we going to be on air long enough to be that old? What are we going to be like when we're two grumpy old farts?
We're already grumpy
pretending
old farts.
To just keep it together for all those years.
Well, this is what I do on vacations. This is how sicko, you know, Shasko always says, I'm a sicko, I know. Well, I don't think he's sicker than me. I think I'm the sicko of the show, to be honest with you. So I'm in Italy. Actually, at the time I was on a European extravaganza. We're in France. We're about an hour away from Nice.
I mean,
and eating lobster, and it's sunny. We got the private beach. It's a 5-star hotel.
People are putting grapes into his mouth.
Literally,
he just opens his mouth. The grapes are going in them.
Literally,
King Bonte.
The Warriors have just won a championship.
Bonte Hill.
Can I make it the story?
Let me get
to the King's Tale first.
Give me the King's Tale first. It is a King's Tale.
Give me the King's Tale first. All right.
Hear ye, hear ye. Quiet down. The king has something to say. Your majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
Oh, the king's tale? What is the king's tale?
I didn't vote for you.
So, King's Tale, south of France. About an hour away from Nice, about an hour away from Saint-Tropez. We did get the car service in Saint-Tropez, went over to Nikki Beach, smoked some hookah. It was amazing. Warriors coming off a championship. Mm-hmm. You know, the fourth championship for Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, and all that stuff, right? TV checks were hitting hard. I mean, because your boy went broke on the European extravaganza. So much so, I missed training camp. But I'm sitting there on the south of France, laid out in the sun. The water was so cold and cursed, I felt like drinking. I swear to God. I was like, is there chlorine in here? I'll guzzle it right now. Anyway, I'm sitting there. And I'm just on YouTube, and I run into the Mike and the Mad Dog interviewing George Steinbrenner, 1990. About a year or two away from his suspension, his two-year ban in Major League Baseball. And I sent it to Shasky. And I'm thinking, he's thinking, why are you listening to George Steinbrenner getting interviewed by Mike and the Mad Dog in 1990? It's 2022, homie. What are you doing? But that's how much of a sicko I am. And that interview with Steinbrenner and Mike and the Mad Dog for an hour was like, wow. Wow, this is radio right here. This is sports radio. So when the Lakers walk into the studio or we get these players on, my head goes to WFAN thinking, we're Mike and the Mad Dog. We're going to have our moment here.
Well, in, according to you, if you were going to write your memoirs, you would say that we were the reason that the CMC trade went down?
I swear to God. So Mike and the Mad Dog on their 30 for 30, they claim that they got the Piazza trade done.
Okay.
Because they had fans calling the Mets office, go trade for Mike Piazza, trade for Mike Piazza. And the Mike Piazza trade got done. Well, 16 days before the McCaffrey trade, we're sitting here conversing, and you're like, well, would they trade him to Tampa Bay? Shasky, relax. They're not going to trade him within the division. But get the 40, because after week one, remember, we had the crossover with Mark Willard. And I said, I think the Niners need a home run hitting running back. We need a three down back. We need somebody who can really put a threat in the pass game. And Mark's like, they don't need a running back, blah, 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 blah. But 16 days before the McCaffrey trade, we were the first at the trough on this show. So I do believe that we put it out there in the ethos, and we kept pounding the table. And then I happened to be on the phone with Mark Barber. He goes, Bonte, the Niners just traded for Christian McCaffrey. I go on Twitter, and Shasta's already on a Twitter Spaces with Matt DeHegan about Christian McCaffrey. And I just thought to myself, boy.
First of the trough.
Boy, I feel like I'm really good at this.
And then Chris Bryant?
Oh, Chris Bryant, that was another one on this show.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
You're going to take credit for that one?
That's all you. I don't claim that one.
How about still the removal credit for Chris of Farhan and analytics?
Oh, well, that was, come on. We called this 3 years. Called this when they were 8 games over .500 in June in Atlanta. Called that one. So that's another one. There's another one we called.
As we're saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Now you got to bring us down.
Oh, my God. Hey, if the Niners win tonight, I'm back on. What? This is a team that's battle-tested. What are you talking about? We don't even have all the troops ready to roll. If they can win tonight, if the Niners, they're going to suck me back in. Think of Dave Chappelle at the end of half-baked.
No. You can't wait until after the game. You have to wait. You have to do it now. Now. I'm sucked in now. I believe they're going up to Seattle to handle their sixth straight loss head-to-head and reclaim the NFC West. This is a body bag game. This is a big game. This is a must-win game. And I'm looking at number 97. It's a quote on our TV right now. Nick Bosa definitely feels like a must-win game.
Well, he better show up. I mean, I'm just going to say it right now. Like, hey, look, Nick, we love you. I can't. When was the last Nick Bosa signature game in a victory? I'm just asking.
It's been a while.
I'm just asking.
It's been a while.
Okay.
Now, it's been a while.
You know, like the truly great players have signature games that propel their team to victories. I need to see it from Nick Bosa tonight.
Hey, 825 Comcast Business Text Line. I have the audio about the Chris McCaffrey thing. Don't put words in my mouth. You're listening to the wrong person. I know what I said. Trust me. I take my L's, but I'm a gloat about my W's. And that McCaffrey one was a W. Just check the timelines, buddy. Check the timelines. Let's go to RJ Fairfield. Then we'll get to Corey. We got Don. It's game day, baby. Niners and Seahawks. Don't be a front runner, Shasky. Come on. Commit right now. RJ.
It's an RPO, RJ. Dude. I'm not ready to commit.
Are you still getting nervous? Are you getting nervous listening to me, RJ?
Oh, Bonte, when you said this is a must-win game, it makes me nervous, like, for real. Shasky, he does this all the time where he puts, this is a must-win game. When he says that, he says it with his chest out loud, and it scares me over the airways. But, man, I've been listening to you all week. I've been listening to you all week, and you're right. Players got to execute, and this is a must-win game, man. Honestly, like, I hate to see when Brock Purdy gets flustered. It makes me think that, hey, what's happening? The receivers aren't getting open. So, I mean, we need to create separation, guys, because when I was at the Arizona game, I saw no separation from Deebo or Juwan Jennings. That was death by a thousand cuts. But, Bonte, quit picking us up. quit picking on us Kings fans, man.
I'm not picking on you guys.
Yeah, I see.
I'm not picking on you guys. RJ, RJ, you listen to Shasky when you guys are guaranteeing Minnesota stuff, and you said he makes you feel good. You don't get nervous with him? He's sick right now.
Well, yeah. You know what? Me and Shasky are in a dark spot right now. You know, I'm listening to my own mind. I try, I think Shasky gets it now. Like, he takes everything. He takes every game as an emotional toll. Like, and that's where I'm at now. I think after that Minnesota game, I was with Shasky on that. Yeah. And every game now is going to make me nervous. Yeah. Especially next week.
When you talk basketball, you live like this in basketball season two with 82 games?
No, it's totally different.
Come on, RJ.
No, it's totally different.
Come on, I thought you were built for this.
RJ, before you go, though.
I thought you were built for this, RJ.
Sabonis sucks.
Hey, so Sabonis, not all players like Sabonis, Shasky, okay? I think he's a bowling ball with arms. Keegan Murray is a softy. And, you know, thank God we got DeMar DeRozan, who went 6-for-6 last night. And I couldn't stand watching that. I turned that game off because you guys just went off on threes. I watched Love is Blind, and that was a good episode. So,
RJ, hold on. Say it a lot. I like talking to RJ, man. I can't wait to meet you, RJ. So you turned off the game in the preseason. It's a preseason game, RJ. And you're watching Love is Blind? Is it that depressing up there in Sacramento or Fairfield? Whatever the hell you are?
No. It's preseason. You're right. You know, after talking to you guys so long, I learned to take games not personal in the preseason. So,
RJ, go get a bottle ready for that baby. All right, let's go. Niners are winning tonight. RJ, let's do this.
RJ, come on. Don't be nervous, okay?
All right, we good. We gonna find out tomorrow, man. I'll hit y'all up on Monday. See what happens.
Sounds good.
Gonna be happy. And I'm going to be sad. I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah. All right, RJ. And then I've got the data right here. Sam Lubman texted to me. Bosa's last really good game was probably last year.